Well, there is a word from the Lord today. We are in the concluding installation of our series on grace called The Grip of Grace. This is the last installment of this series. We've been reflecting in this series, The Grip of Grace, on this most essential but ignored element of our faith, this treasure of our faith, this concept of grace. We are instructed in Scripture, as you know, to receive into ourselves, to receive and accept and believe in the amazing grace of Jesus deep in our spirits. But we're asking ourselves in this series, have we really done that? And I pray that you have asked yourself that in this series as we've reflected on what grace means. Because when we truly accept grace, some things change. During the season we're changing, you'll remember we changed our grip. Somebody say, changing my grip. We changed our mirror. Somebody say, I'm changing my mirror.
Changing my mirror.
Last week we talked about changing our story. Somebody say, I'm changing my story.
I'm changing my story.
And today in this final installment, we are accepting our assignments. Accepting our assignments. This, in many ways, accepting your assignment, is the final step of grace. It is how grace completes its work in you. It is the final stage of this journey of grace. When you receive a call that you didn't necessarily qualify for, when the gift of grace turns into the gift of an assignment over your life, then grace is truly amazing. So as we conclude our series on grace, I wanted to look at someone who learned that grace is not just to cover you, but it is also to call you. Someone who fully stepped into this grace that was extended to him. We are studying Paul today, so if you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, the 9th chapter. A familiar passage that the Spirit can use in ever new ways. Acts chapter 9. Verses 1 through 15. When you got to say amen.
Amen.
This side, doing well. This side didn't have their coffee yet. We'll give them a little. It's okay. They need some coffee. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 15. Studying the story of Paul. When you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Ah, there we are. There we are. Please attend with me to the powerful and the holy word of God. I'm reading from the New International Version of the Greek text. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind. He did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel." Return with me one moment to these last few verses. "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people. But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument.'" People of God, in the season of diving into grace, the Spirit of the living God is saying to each of us today, you are my chosen instrument. Let us pray. God, we bless your name and we put our attention on you this morning. We are in deep need of a word from you. We bring to you lives, journeys that don't always make sense to us, but we trust God. Even if it's just that mustard seed of faith, we trust that you are up to something, and we come to you today, laying our lives before you. We ask that your message of grace, which we many of us have heard since we were 2 and 3 years old, but has not necessarily made its way into the depths of our spirit, we ask that that powerful message of grace might be ours today, that we might hear your voice speaking to us, that we might recognize your voice, we might receive what you would say, because God, we need a word from you. We lift up to you all those hearts who need to hear from you in a special way, and we ask that you use your powerful word, as you have so many times, to speak to us about these lives that we are living. God, our highest desire is to live in a way that brings you glory. Our highest desire is that you might order our steps, that we might live the lives you have called us to live. And God, when we get there and when we turn around and see the works that you have done, we will not fail to give you the praise, because to you it is due. We love you, we thank you, and we need you. And it is in the mighty, the holy, and the powerful name of Jesus that together we say amen.
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 Amen. The Spirit of the living God saying to us, you are my chosen instrument. Most of us, I would argue, I wonder if you agree with me, most of us feel like we are very unlikely candidates for a call. Most of us, as everyone walks into their assignment differently, some run confidently into it, knowing the whole time what their assignment is. Some have to be pulled kicking and screaming. Some stumble their way into it. Most of us walk step by step, a journey of discovery, because assignments, of course, it's not a linear or a monolithic or a simple or a singular thing. Most of us, it's a journey of discovering step by step what it is that God has called for us. But for most of us, there is a level of mystery and of resistance, because most of us on this journey feel like we are very unlikely candidates to be called by God. We feel this way because we feel some combination, I posit, of what I call the three U's. We feel some combination of unworthy, say it with me, unworthy, unqualified, or unimportant.
Oof.
We feel some combination of these things. We don't feel that our lives could really contain anything that could be called worthy of a call from the Most High. Whether it's because you feel like you've messed up too much, that the things you've done and the mistakes you've made are too ugly. With all these good people around, why would God choose somebody who is such a master at messing up, unworthy of a call? Whether it's because you feel unqualified, you feel like you don't have much to offer, you survey your gifts and they don't impress you that much. You can't imagine what God could do with the gifts that you have, which you don't even see as gifts, because you know, by the way, when you look at something all the time, it becomes hard for you to see the value that's in it. Or maybe it's because you just feel not that important, an unlikely candidate for God's purposes. And this is the case for many of us, because you have come to believe that you're just not all that special, that what you've been able to do thus far in your life seems very inconsequential. And you assume if God were up to something big in you, then God would have gotten those things done by now. You assume and you think, and you've come to believe, because of the narratives of this world and maybe the narratives that come from your own spirit, that what God gets done, God does through people with titles and people who write books and have articles with their names all in them, and people who have buildings named after them. And you feel that the life you've lived so far is nothing to write home about. You feel like you're an unlikely candidate for a call from the Most High, because you don't feel that important. The three U's we feel add up to this feeling. It's just not likely. I hear the words in church. I know what the song says about me, but I just, if I'm honest with myself, I don't feel like I'm a very likely candidate for an assignment. So then what do we do? We spend years ignoring the whispers of the Spirit that indicate when God is inviting us into the places where we are needed and where we are called. We walk around with emotions of insecurity and inferiority instead of the attitude of one who is on assignment from the Most High. We miss the opportunities, both the big ones and the little ones, to take part in God's healing and transforming work because we do not necessarily believe that God could call the likes of us. But the reality that we see reflected and proclaimed in our scriptures, the reality that we see if we turn the pages of our holy writ, is that God has the habit of using unlikely candidates to complete divine assignments. Hannah, the one who was considered barren, somebody say considered. Considered barren, she would birth one of Israel's most influential prophets and the most important leader of his century. That was Hannah. It was an unlikely assignment. Moses, the one who spoke so poorly that many believe that he was a stutter, that's the one whose words God used to undermine an entire empire and to declare liberty to all of God's people. Moses was an unlikely candidate for a divine assignment. I could go on, but time does not permit me to tell you all the unlikely characters that have looked up to find themselves wrapped up in the purposes of God and with an assignment on their lives. Unlikely candidates. There is a power that is unleashed in you. There is a power that is opened up in you when you finally accept that even though you might feel unlikely, even though the world might think that you are unworthy, even though other people might tell you that you are unqualified, even though you yourself might at times feel so unimportant that God has a call over your life and an assignment on your agenda, there is a power that courses through your life. Paul was an unlikely candidate to be called by God. Paul was the most unlikely of those to be used by the Most High. Paul had reason every day to look up and see that his life could not be put back together in such a way that God's purposes could come from it. Paul was an unlikely. We talked last week about how Paul had spent many years of his life doing exactly the opposite of God's will. Some of us know the feeling. Many years he had spent, decades he had spent doing exactly what he should not have done, exactly what was the opposite of God's purposes and God's call. He was hurting other people. And I don't just mean he was accidentally stepping on their toes. Paul was doing the opposite of what he was called to do. He was not only on an unproductive path, he was on a destructive path. I wonder if anyone knows the feeling. Paul had crafted a campaign to make life intolerable for those who followed Jesus. Paul would go house to house, dragging Christians to jail and arranging for them to be beaten by the authorities just because Paul didn't like their religion and he thought his was better. A lesson for our world today that Jesus is not on the side of those who deem their religions higher than others. Paul was acting in exactly the opposite of the will of God because he thought that they were lesser than because he didn't like their faith. There was even blood on Paul's hands. When Christians were on trial and Paul was on the jury, he would vote for execution because he was so convinced that they were lesser than him. We know, many of us, the story when Stephen was being killed. Paul was the one who held the coats of the men who threw the stones. Paul was an unlikely candidate for God's purposes. I tell you Paul's story in such detail to highlight one of the great claims of our faith. I tell you Paul's story in such detail because I believe that we all need to know and be reminded today, one of the great claims of the Christian faith is that God can change anyone. And what we see in Paul's story gives us such great hope because not only can God change anyone, God can use anyone. Whew. If anyone had reason to feel unworthy to be called, it was Paul. He was an unlikely candidate to be used by God. The people around Paul had trouble believing. Maybe you can relate that God could use the likes of him. The people around Paul saw Paul And then they saw their concept of God, and they just did not think that the two could mix. I don't know if you know the feeling. The people around him saw Paul, and they did not believe that Paul, that anything good could come out of Paul's life, that God could do anything worthy of being called a call with the life that Paul had led. When God told Ananias that Paul was part of the plan, Ananias said something that maybe some of us have heard different iterations of. Ananias said, "That one? I've heard some things about that one." Maybe some of us know or have had some Ananiases in our lives. I've heard some things about that one and who he used to be. I do not believe, God, that you could use that one, that you could ever pull anything beautiful, anything glorious, anything cosmic, anything divine out of that life. Sometimes those around you won't be able to believe that God could be working through you because they've seen where you've been. Whew. They've seen how you've spoken. They've seen who you used to be. They've seen that attitude that you can have sometimes. They remember the old you. And it just seems baffling to them. It seems incomprehensible to them that someone who has your history could be up to anything holy. It wasn't just those around Paul, which is some of our stories. Paul himself had a hard time believing that he could be called. He would write later after his call. We, those of you who know his story, we've talked this series. He would write it later that at times he would still, because being on assignment is not a linear thing, at times he would still consider himself unworthy of a call. He would say things like, "I am unfit to be called an apostle because of my past, because of who I used to be. I am the foremost of sinners, the least of the apostles." Some of us know what it is for others to look at us and to scoff and to think, what could God do in that life? Most of us know the feeling of looking in the mirror and to scoff at ourselves, thinking, what could God do with little old me, with a life so insignificant and so imperfect? But I am so glad this morning, and it blesses my soul. I don't know if you feel the same way. I'm so glad this morning that God's opinion is not always the same as the opinion others have about us, and it's not, hallelujah, always the same as the opinion that we have of ourselves. Ananias didn't believe that Paul's life could be forged into anything resembling a life on assignment, and that's when our scripture comes in and tells us something that changes everything, tells us something that blesses me today in a mighty way. It tells us something in verses 15 that changes everything. Ananias said, "God, not him, but the Lord said, he is my chosen instrument." I hope you can just apply that to your life. Others may say that they don't see how God could pull anything that powerful out of you, but the Lord said. You may say to yourself over and over for decades that you don't see how God caressed anything beautiful out of the messy and seemingly inconsequential life that you were living, but the Lord said. Some of us need to stop listening to the voices that we hear around us and hear that voice like Paul did so long ago saying, "But the Lord said." There is power that takes place in your life when you stop heeding what others say about you and when you finally stop paying so much attention to what you say about yourself and you listen instead to what the Lord says. On this road today, God came in and said something diametrically opposed to what others were saying about Paul, to the voices that were in his own spirit. They were saying what they had heard. Paul was saying what he thought, and he had the voice of unworthiness coursing through his spirit, but the Lord said. And he had the audacity to believe it. I wonder this morning, do we have the audacity to believe grace? Whew. We like the word, but do we pick it up and make it part of our lives? We meet Paul today on the day that he met grace. Most of us meet grace very casually. We hear of it, you know, it's like you meet a person, they're an acquaintance for a while. You know their name, you don't know much about them. That's how most of us meet Grace. We know Grace's name, but we don't understand what Grace really will mean in our lives. And so we meet Grace casually, and we get together every now and then to talk about things, but we don't go very deep with Grace. Paul's meeting with Grace today was not casual. It was dramatic, it was life-changing, it was utterly turned everything around. And if we could be a little bit more like Paul, we might walk in our assignments in ways that we have not yet done. We might walk with a power in our lives that we have not yet accessed, because there is power in knowing that you are on assignment, and there is power in believing finally that grace means that even you can be called. We meet Paul today on the day that he met Grace. This is the day that Paul plunged into the baffling grace of Jesus that would take someone whose path had been pointed in exactly the wrong direction, that would take such an unlikely character to be called by God and not only accept him, but approve him for a divine assignment. Because grace is not just being saved from something. It's being saved for something. Let me say that again in case you didn't think I was talking to you. Grace is not just that you were saved from something. It's because you were saved for something. That grace is not just being accepted. It's being accepted and then taken into the purposes of God and used and given approved, not just for your own sake, but approved for an assignment. I spent some time this week at an amazing organization called Exodus Transitional Communities. Exodus Transitional Communities. It's an organization in Manhattan that every year helps over 2,000 people to come from experiences of incarceration and then to come and remake their lives, because we know that in our country, incarceration intentionally breaks so many lives. And this organization, Exodus, an incredible organization, it takes over 2,000 people a year and introduces them into a life that is beyond their wildest dreams because of the things that have happened to them and that they have been through. And the policy director for this organization, talk about living on assignment. So the man who directs the policy and their efforts at changing the laws that keep incarceration as such a violent weapon of our country, the policy director, he told us a story about Grace. He told us his opinion about Grace and how he feels that it has worked in his life. He himself had experienced over 20 years of incarceration. And then he finds himself in this role on assignment from the Most High. And he said to us, you know, my story was hard and my story was rough and my story has taught me so many things. He said, my story has taught me that grace is like a parking ticket. Grace is like those times when you are parking in the city and you park somewhere that you know you can't park. You park somewhere you know you're not really supposed to park, but you're frustrated, and so you stop and you park and you hope. But then you stay too long, and you know you stay too long. He says, grace is like you're walking back to your car after you knew you shouldn't have parked there and you knew you stayed too long, and grace is walking back to your car and you get up close to your car and you see the parking attendant circling your vehicle. Grace is like you walk close and you see her there and you're nervous and your heart begins to pound and you say, I know what should be there. And grace is you walking up with your heart pounding and knowing and remembering the moment, why I knew I shouldn't have parked there. Why did I stay that extra 5 minutes? I knew, and you know what you should get when you get to your car. But grace is getting to your car and you look on your windshield and somehow there is no ticket there. And grace is saying, God, I didn't deserve it. God, I know I have not done everything I was supposed to do. God, I saw the sign, but I ignored it. And God, I got here, and what I deserve is not what's here. And then he said, but grace is not like you just get there and there's no ticket. Grace is so amazing, he said. Grace is so amazing because when you get to your windshield, you see, not only did she not leave you a ticket, but she stuffed a $50 bill underneath the windshield wiper. Grace, he said, is you come up and you realize you have been accepted even in spite of the things that are not right about you. And not only are you accepted into the arms of a loving God, but you are approved for an assignment. And there is more in your life that God is trying to do. Not only are you accepted, but you are approved with a call on your life, not because you are qualified, but because grace is so amazing. Grace, he says, grace, Paul says today, is not just that God loves you in spite of the things that you have done, loves you and accepts you, even though you, like everybody else, is imperfect. It's that even when you feel so unlikely, even when you may feel unworthy, when others may tell you you're unqualified, even though you may even think that you are unimportant, grace is saying, I have called you, in spite of you, I have approved you for an assignment. Not only do I accept you, I need you and I want you on my team. Grace is the gift not just of acceptance, but being approved for an assignment. The audacity to believe that the God of the universe could call us. We should know this. It's all throughout Scripture. In Galatians, Paul says to us, I have been not only saved, but called by his grace. And every time he talks to his people, he says, it's the grace of God that gave me this call. And when he says to us in Ephesians, he says, it is not by grace, it is not by your own works that you are saved, but it's by grace through faith, because God has called you to a work for good works that you may walk in them. Grace is not just being accepted. Grace is being approved for an assignment. God says to Paul this day, I know what Ananias said, that you are unlikely. I know what you say, that you don't have anything to offer, but the Lord said, you are my chosen instrument. This is what we need to adopt as we let this message of the grace of the God of the universe who loves us and who calls us according to God's purposes. This is what we need to adopt for ourselves to understand that God has said to us, you can be if you would like. Whew. If you have the audacity to accept it and to believe it. If you have the audacity to believe what you hear from the Lord Most High, not from the messages of the world around you or even the voice in your own spirit, you can be if you would like. If you have the audacity, like Paul did this day, to believe, you can be my chosen instrument. And this is such an important and a powerful and a perfect metaphor that God uses today. And it's the metaphor that really can turn this around for some of us because God knew what God was doing when God chose this metaphor, my chosen instrument. God said to Paul, you are my chosen instrument. Say it back with me. My chosen instrument. My. This would change things in our lives if when we approached our assignment, if we would think, you know what? What I am is I'm God's chosen instrument. My chosen. Because some of us, we get caught up and we get confused. We get distracted and we get delayed. Whew. Some of us get delayed on our assignment because we look around and we don't see anyone who's telling us that they see the call in our lives. In fact, some of us, like Paul, we look around and the voices that are around us, like Ananias' voice, the human voices that are around us, are not telling us that they see an assignment over our lives and they see that we are the head and not the tail and they see that God could do mighty things through us. No, they are saying the opposite. A lot of times we don't get the affirmation that we think we need from the human voices around us. Sometimes our mother doesn't see it, and our coworker does not see it. And we feel on Tuesday like we might believe that, yes, God is bubbling up something in me, and there is something that is on the horizon for me, and I'm on assignment in this workplace, and I'm on assignment in this house. We might start to believe it, but then the voices around us, from our past or from our present, like Ananias say, I've heard too much about him. I know too much about her. But I have a question for you today, and it is a rhetorical question. I have a question when we consider those places and those voices who do not necessarily see what God might do in us, not because we are so qualified, but because God is so amazing. I have a question about those voices who do not believe that you have an assignment over your life. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? When God said to Paul, you are my chosen instrument, they might not necessarily see it because you don't belong to them. You belong to me. And so does it matter what she says, what they said, what they believe about what you can do and what I can get done through your life? Who cares? You are my chosen instrument. See, we're not supposed to get the affirmation from the people. You see, in Paul's call, it said that they didn't see it. They were there. Did you see that? They were there with him. They saw something crazy happen, but the scripture is very clear. Those who were with him did not see what God said to him and what God did in his life that day. They did not see it. They're not supposed to see what God is doing through you. It's okay if your wife doesn't know, if your husband can't see it. It's okay if your teacher does not yet see what God is doing through your life and continues to tell you things that are less than what you are. It's okay if they don't see it. They're not supposed to see it because you are God's chosen instrument. You don't belong to them. My chosen instrument. See, a lot of times, this is the difference between Paul and us. We approach our assignments with anxiety and with feelings of insecurity and worry, right? Because a lot of times we have the wrong grip, changing our grip. We have the wrong grip and we're working, we're doing our assignment for approval. Paul does his assignment from approval, not for approval. From a sense of acceptance, not for anybody else's acceptance. Paul, this day, who knows why he was working so hard and following so many rules before? Some of us who have the testimony of the rule followers. Sometimes there's something in you that's making you try to earn things. And Paul was doing that before, but on this day he realized, I have been approved of, not because I deserve it, but because the God who loves me is bigger than anything I've ever done. And I have been accepted, not because I'm so great, but because the God who loves me has so much love for me that God cannot help to accept me. I have been approved. And God, Paul works from approval, not for approval. He has changed his grip because he realizes he is God's chosen instrument. God said, you are my chosen instrument. The other reason then this metaphor, this is so powerful, and I just pray that we can adopt this metaphor this week as we attempt to change our grips and see ourselves as a sign from the Most High, not because we are so qualified, but because God is so amazing. The other thing that makes this metaphor so perfect is that an instrument can be imperfect and still make beautiful music. Whew. This is the best metaphor for us. God knew what God was doing when God said to Paul and sent us to read these words about Paul, you are my chosen instrument. Because an instrument doesn't have to be perfect for the musician to make beautiful music out of it. Now, I know y'all don't know anything about Willie Nelson. I got to go all the way to Jersey to hear any Willie Nelson. But where I'm from, anybody from the South? Yes, where I'm from, Willie Nelson is synonymous with beautiful music. I can't get any Willie Nelson. I got to go to Jersey, at least Staten Island. It's like, where? Can't get any Willie around here. But Willie Nelson is an incredible thing because famously we know that Willie Nelson's synonymous with gorgeous music. But his guitar was not perfect. His guitar famously was beat up and it was broken. It has a huge hole in it where his pick has been so many times. It has scratches and cracks on it. His guitar is not a perfect instrument, but the music that can come out. Oh, it's a powerful metaphor for us. In fact, I think that we should adopt that this week. I am an imperfect instrument, but I am God's chosen. Hallelujah. I am an imperfect, and can you imagine this guitar that he plays? If you looked at it on the street, you would think it was refuse. You would think it belongs in the dumpster. You would not see the beautiful music that could come out of it. But when Willie picks it up and he straps it on, hallelujah, when he puts it on himself and he begins to play and he sings, you are always on my mind, tears begin to fall in the audience, not because the instrument is so perfect, but because the musician who is playing it. Did you know that when you're God's chosen instrument, which we are all called to be, that you don't have to be perfect, but the music that comes out of you can be exquisite because the musician is perfect. God's chosen instrument doesn't have to be perfect. We are all imperfect instruments. And the last reason that God was so intelligent, so divinely on time with this message when God told Paul, you are my chosen instrument. And this is what's going to help us change our grip in this season when we consider we are accepted by grace. We have new mirrors because of grace. We have new stories because of the grace that has gripped us. And we know that we are accepted for our assignment because of grace. This is what's going to help us change our grip, is that with an instrument, it's not about the instrument. That's not who makes the music. An instrument is nothing without the musician. In the things that you hope and dream and maybe long that God could get done through your life, you're nothing without the musician. Oh, what an amazing thing to be an instrument in the hand of an incredible God, playing a symphony through your life, playing a song that you could not have written by yourself. It is not about the instrument. No, see, this is why sometimes we approach our calls and our assignments and this mythical thing that we call purpose, as though there's just one. And if we don't do it, well, we must be useless. This is why we approach it with such anxiety and feelings of insecurity, because we think we have to do it. We think we have to craft it. We have to build ourselves and write the symphony and figure out when to play it. God says, it's not about what you are doing. You have to let me play the song through you. All you have to do is show up to the concert. Do I have any believers in the house today who can say, I don't need to be perfect and I don't need to do it all by myself, but praise be to God that God desires to play a song through me, and all I have to do is say, God, here I am at your disposal, at the disposal of the Most High. I have shown up to the concert. I don't always know all the music. God, I can't even read sheet music, but you, God, if you pick me up and you put your song through me, God, I will be faithful and I will trust. Hallelujah. I will trust that the song you can play through me is better than anything I could have played on my own. We have to change our grip. We have to change the way we approach this thing. We have to have the audacity to accept that we are assigned, to accept that God could make beautiful music through our lives. It's an incredible thing to realize we are imperfect instruments, but we are chosen by our mighty God. Things shift. A power comes out when we wake up every day and say, God, what song do you want to play today? God, I might be a little creaky. It might come out of tune, but I trust that you are composing a symphony, and I'm not the only piece of this, but God, the music that you make, I trust it can make the whole world sing. What shifts in our lives when we begin to believe? It doesn't matter what other people think, because I belong to God. I don't have to be perfect to be an instrument in the hands of the perfect musician. And it's not about me. It's about what God plays through me. What shifts in our lives when we say, God, I'm showing up to the concert. I finally accept your grace over my life. Not God, that just that you accept me. See, this is our confusion about grace. We think that grace is we are so terribly unworthy that we're wretches, and that God accepts us anyway. That's not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that God is a good, good father. And God accepts us not because we are so worthy and God accepts us anyway, but because God loves us so much. Grace is not being accepted from the wretch that you are. Grace is being restored to the precious child of God. This is what Jesus taught. And then grace, when grace completes its work in you, you accept that not only are you approved enough to be in the embrace of God, but that you were approved for an assignment. That not only could God take you and love you and walk with you, but that God, now this is amazing grace, can use you, can play a song through your life that has notes that are reminiscent of the divine, that could make music that is worthy to be called music from the Almighty, that God could work through you. Yes, even you. There is a power that comes when we allow grace to complete its work. It doesn't make sense, people of God, to sing the song, to say we believe in grace, to say we believe the pages of Scripture, but not apply them to us. I'm asking you today to have the audacity to let grace do its work in you. I could tell you about all the amazing things that God did through Paul's life to inspire you to live a little bit like Paul, and no, it's not about me and my abilities, but there is something that God is asking me to believe, that even I could be used. I could tell you that Paul founded countless churches. I could tell you about all the healings that Paul did, not because he did them, but because the power of God was allowed to come through his hands. I could tell you that it was because of Paul that the gospel and the glorious riches of the gospel have spread all the way to the ends of the earth, even to places like Brooklyn. I could tell you that to inspire you that because Paul showed up to the concert and allowed himself to be available and had the audacity to believe that God could work even through the likes of him. I could tell you all that, but you know that. I'd rather tell you about Paul at the end of his life. And y'all, this is where life gets real. I'd rather tell you about Paul at the end of his life when he looks back over it with a peace and a satisfaction. Oof. That comes from having lived on assignment. I'd rather tell you about Paul when he's looking back over his life and he says, I have a satisfaction, I have a contentedness. Not because I got famous. Paul never was famous during his lifetime. It wasn't about that for him, and it shouldn't be about that for us. Not because he saw everything that came from his work. He didn't get to see a lot of it. But Paul had a satisfaction when he looked back over his life. He said, I have finished my race. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have completed my assignment. Paul has a satisfaction when he looks back. He says, I have been played in the hands of a masterful musician, and it wasn't because I was so great, but God chose to pick me up one day and to begin to play a song with my life, and praise be to God. That song came out much better, than I could have ever made it. So the invitation today, sisters and brothers, everybody stand to your feet. The invitation today, as we allow grace to sink into our lives in a way that it has not before, is that not only has God accepted us, but God has approved us for an assignment. The invitation is to see what God can do. When you have the audacity to believe, it's not because I am so qualified, but there's something about this God who just loves using unlikely characters to do God's work on the earth. There is something that takes place in your life, and the invitation is to finally believe it, that God could use you, yes, even you, to do God's work, to make God's music. When we live our lives at the disposal of the Most High, when we show up to the concert knowing we are God's chosen, imperfect, but chosen instrument, the music that can come from our lives has a sound, you might even call it grace notes, so beautiful that it is above anything we could have ever done our own. The music that God can play through our lives will amaze even us. The music that God can play through your life when you realize and accept you're God's chosen instrument. This is the work of the Lord, and it is marvelous to behold. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do we have any chosen instruments in the house today? Come on, if you know that you are chosen by God, not because of your qualifications, but because of the mighty God that we serve. You know that you are chosen by our good God. You're saying yes to God. Yes, God. Take my life, imperfect as it is, and make me on assignment for you. If that's your story today, come on and sing with us as we sing Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
A song that we should sing every day of our lives.
Yes, Lord. From the bottom.
In grace and in your assignment. Come on, let this yes spring from your spirit today. Let's say yes to God.
Yes, Lord, completely yes, my soul says yes.
And like you mean it, sing with us.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Grab somebody's hand as we pray.
I love you.
Ooh, that's perfect. Let's sing this to God.
I love you.